You ask and receive and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. God told me to tell some of y'all, man, y'all do good in here. Some people can't even tell you got a war going on. I'm serious. You come in here and you say spiritual stuff. Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, I'm praying for you. I'm praying about it. Man, praise God. Hallelujah. We're blessed and highly favored. You got all the bumper stickers knocked out. But if we could get in the car and ride home with you, if we could go to dinner with you, if we could hear your conversation about brothers and sisters in the faith. No, listen, about brothers and sisters in the faith. You're hating on people that's supposed to be, they say, you can know that you've passed from life unto death, that if you came alive, that when you love the brethren, that means you love the people that are born again. If you can't love church people, how in the world are we going to reach a lost and dying world? But they got it. You don't know the situation. You don't know what happened. I think I do. I think I do. I think we got war going on. But then we come in here and we want to worship and pray and preach and go out and say, God, man, we've got a great church and God's moving. Yeah, but guess what? If we go out of here and go to war, do you think God's in that? Do you think God likes to hear gossip and complaining and murmuring and how you hate and how you destroy and how you don't love, especially the one God gave you, you begged for and prayed for and said, God, give her to me. I want to marry her. Give him. Oh, that's my man. Now you got him and you won't give him one good word. You'll tell everybody what he doesn't do. You'll tell everybody how she says this and she says that and she does that and that and that. And you know what, my God? This is what you beg God for. When's the last time you said something good? Man, if we held you down to the carpet and say something good about that other person. I just can't. How's that? Shame. Shame on us. You ask, listen to this, because you ask, oh, this is good. Let me go back and read it, verse 2. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. Can I tell you something about it? You ain't even asking God to get involved in it. To be honest. To being honest. God's sitting there watching us and we're sitting there going, well, I went to the lawyer. And I'm going to do this and I did that. And I'm thinking about, man, I'm about to put my hands on them. Huh? I'm thinking about just, you know, I might just drive down there and give them a piece of my mind. You know what I'm thinking about doing? I think I'm going to give them a little bit of their medicine. You know what she said to me? Do you know what he said to me? Do you know what they did? You know who you sound like? You sound like the world. That's how the world handles problems. That's how the world fixes their problems. You have not the relationship because you ain't asking God to fix it. You ain't, listen, no, I'm about to get to that. You had not one time crawled in the closet, crawled on your face, got in a place where you'd talk to God, because if you did, God would fix it. Some of y'all sitting here going, how do you know that he would fix it? Because God gave me a message today. And if God will give me some words, he'll fix your marriage. He'll fix your husband. He'll fix your wife. He'll fix your friends. He'll fix the church. He'll fix the pastor. Oh, God, I'm praying that he'll fix the pastor. He's still working on me. I mean, he is working on me big time. If you really want me to change, if you really want me to go, if you really want, just ask him. God, fix that guy. He's got issues. If you got a problem with leadership around here, pray for leadership. If you got a problem in this church, pray for God to give you. Ask him. God, listen, I'm not talking. Listen, this is how neutral it is. Go in there and say, God, I will do. God, don't say it if you don't mean it. Let me read this other part where you'll know what I'm saying. You have not because you ask not. Verse 3, look at this. You ask and receive not. Because why? Because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. Some of you are. Some of you will tell me. And I'll say it too. I've been praying about it. There's two kinds of prayers. You went in there and you said all the right stuff out of your mouth, but your heart, God, I'll do whatever it takes for my marriage to work out. God, I'll do whatever it takes for this relationship at church to work out. I'll do whatever it takes to love that pastor. I'll do whatever it takes to love that councilman. I'll do whatever it takes to love my family member, my friends in the church. God, I'll do whatever it takes. But in your heart's going, if. If they will change, if they will come forward, if they will admit, if they will, man, if they would just die. You know what would really help God? If they would just leave. Let them leave, God, or let us leave. You know what? I'm scared of y'all this morning. I'm scared of y'all. Because I'm preaching some stuff in here. It might work in here. Or it might work on me getting another job. God, if we keep running from the issues, if you keep leaving or asking them to leave and they leave or you leave, guess what's going to happen? That problem will arise again and you will fail at it again. That's why there's a million churches in this country. It's because somebody else is leaving and go somewhere else. And you take that same toxic relationship everywhere you go. And you, for a little while, for 3 or 4 months at that new church, it's amazing. This is the perfect church. Well, don't worry. You'll be there long enough to mess it up. You just showed up. The one that's toxic. All right, you're going to stir in the batter. Somebody who will never forgive, always speaks evil, always gets even, always gets right. And when it comes right down to it, God, fix them, not me. So we ask amiss. We go into it and we're saying one thing and we're meaning another. Or we go into the prayer and we're just real honest with God. God, I hate them. Zap them with lightning and fire. Bring all the plagues of the Bible against them, Lord. Don't spare anything. Fix their little red wagon, Lord. And I promise you, if you do, I will get a front row seat and I will say all the spiritual stuff right to them. I know that sounds funny, but it's true. Some of y'all, I'm being honest, and I'm just saying some of y'all, me too. A lot of times we don't want to get it, we don't want to fix it, because a lot of times, let me tell you what God will do. He won't fix that other person. You know why? Because you can't control one thing they do. But if you're talking to God, He can control you, can't He? I could have all recall right now, it'd be all right. Listen, verse 4 gets real cool. You adulterers and adulteresses. Man, he uses marriage language right there. Wonder why. Every relationship's like this. He's talking to the Christian right here. You're having problems in your relationships because of this. You adulterers and adulteresses. Know you not that the friendship of the Lord is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You're going around to the world to solve all your problems. Listen, I'll put it this way. You're trying to solve your problems the worldly way. You're going to do it the worldly way. And guess what? You're going to get the worldly result. You know what? You're going to get that from God, the result. That's what God said. Keep doing it that way. And guess what? You'll end up with the divorces. You'll end up with no friends. You'll end up bitter. You'll end up lonely. You'll end up all. If you keep on dealing with the issue, you know what you go to? You go in there and you say, God, hey, here I am. Whew. Here I am, God. I'm not going to deal with it. I'm not going to go to everybody else. See, when you cheat on God, let me give you verse 5. Look at it with me. Are y'all still with me? Is there anybody here still likes me just one little bit? I'm kind of worried about it. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? You know what that means? You don't think the Spirit of God gets jealous? Let me explain it this way. I use this. Me and my wife, we're married and we have an issue, right? We have a problem. It's probably her fault. No. To be truthful, it's probably my fault. Right? But say we have a big issue going on between me and her, and we're fighting about it. We've been married for about 17, going on 18 years, and we're going through this life, and we're wrestling with it. But what if one day she got up and she walked in, and I was sitting at the table, and I was stressed out. She says, Kevin, what's the problem? Why are y'all stressed out? Well, see, I'm really stressed out about the bills and about that issue that we got going on and about some other things that are going on. And she goes, well, let's talk about it. No. I'm talking to somebody else about it. Who? There was this girl I went out with back in the 10th grade, Sherry. Sorry, Sherry's, it's not you. I just made that name up. Now I'm thinking there's about five Sherry's in here. Sherry in the 10th grade, man, we were high school sweethearts, and you know what? She was real kind to me, and I was real kind to her, and I was sorry that we broke up, and she went on with her life and her life. But you know what? I just thought, man, here in about 18 years since we've been into this relationship, I thought Sherry could probably handle my problems better than me and you can. How, does anybody in here that's married think that would go over well? I'm talking to somebody I used to be in love with or in lust with, and they're giving me information on what to do. Listen, when you got born again, believe it or not, the Holy Spirit came to reside on the inside of you, and He gets upset when your physical man starts going to the physical world for the answers, and the Holy Spirit resides in you, and you won't ask Him what to do. He's sitting over going, listen, I've saved you, and I've got a place in eternity for you, and I've done all this for you, but yet you don't think I can handle your relationship problem. You don't think you would be a little ticked off? Quit asking questions to people that ain't going to give you the right answers. Verse 6, but He giveth more grace where He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Amen? Listen to this. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What's that? Submit yourself therefore to God. Submission means humbling. Submission means putting yourself under His authority. Submission means I don't get to dictate what we do with the relationship. God, I'm going to put you in charge, and I'm going to get up underneath you. I'm going to submit to your rule, your word, your presence, your leadership. When you do that, listen, and when you resist the devil, how do you resist it? What does that mean, Kevin? Can you help me with resist the devil? Don't say what he wants you to say. Don't think what he wants you to think. Don't respond the way he wants you to respond. Wait on God. God, every time you wait on God and you submit, and at that time that word starts rolling around your forehead, and then all of a sudden it gets down about your tongue, and you go say, God, can I release that one? And he says, no, eat it. Swallow it and get rid of it. He just saved you something, didn't he? Amen? Resist the devil and he will. What did it say? Is that a promise? How many of y'all are resisting him? Some of y'all just fall right into it. As soon as some, golly, I wish I could speak Christianese. I took it up to the altar and laid it down. I did. I brought it right up there and I put my Bible down and I laid it down before God. And you scooched it with your foot all the way back to your seat, into your car, back home. And then you picked it up, and the first person had asked you, how's everything going? Well, let me tell you. I thought you laid that down. I thought you gave it to God. I did, but you asked me about it, so I got to tell you the whole story. Let me start about 20 years ago. This is where it went bad. He said this, I did that. She said this, I said that. He didn't say this, he said that. My goodness. What have you been doing? It didn't take 5 minutes. You're all the way back into the whole story. If God really did take it, if God really did fix it, if you really laid it down, when somebody come and said, hey, how's it going with that? I have gave it to God, and it's going to work out. One way or the other, it's going to work out. I'm trusting God. That's enough. Most of the people that are asking you that information anyway are just wanting you to tell them where they can tell somebody else. Amen, preacher. Whew. I wish I didn't know that. That's a promise. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. I have never used this scripture right here in context. Been preaching for 15 years and ain't never used it in context. Shame on me, right? Yes, preacher. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Okay, there was this little boy. I'm preaching to you. Just don't know how good this is. Hey, this little boy, he was at home, and his mama went to work or went to town or something, and his daddy was in charge of him. Lord, help us. And his daddy got busy watching the game or doing something men do, maybe working with the house or doing some work. And the little boy wandered around the house and found, guess what he found? He found his mama's favorite, most expensive, valuable vase. Took all the flowers out of it and stuck his big old hand down in it and became a robot who then began to walk around the house and shoot everything with his big laser arm that was really a vase. And his dad, after a couple of hours, hears these sounds coming from the house. What in the world is going on up there? I put that boy in front of the TV with some Cheez-Its and some Kool-Aid. He should have been fine for 3 hours. He goes upstairs, and his son comes around the corner and blasts him. Boom, boom, boom. How about that, Daddy-O? He said, Lord, help me, son. Is that your mother's vase? Daddy, that's my mama's vase. And, man, it is the most powerful ray gun on this side of planet Earth. I have destroyed every animal in here. Son, we only got to do one thing. We got to get that off your arm. Get those flowers back in it and get it back to where else, then we can worry about the house later. So he goes to pulling. I think at one point he's got his foot on that boy's chest and it won't come off. And that boy's beginning to cry and he's saying, Daddy, get that off my arm, it won't come off. He said, golly, you know how dads do? He went to the garage and he gets a ball peen hammer. And he's walking back in there. He's like, oh, God. It's either get my son's arm out of this, or it could end up in divorce. Because she loves his face more than me. Takes the boy's arm, the hammer. You know how this is going to happen. There is an arm in there. And the father thinks, wait. Can we try one more thing? Yeah, Daddy. Well, what do you want me to do? Straighten that hand up. I mean, literally straighten that thing all the way out, son. Just, I mean, make it straight as an arrow, and I'm going to try to pull it out that way. He said, Daddy, I can't. Why? He goes, because I got my favorite Hot Wheel car in my hand. And if I let go of that favorite Hot Wheel car, then it might be stuck in the vase forever. His dad leans over and says, you've been holding on to that whole time? He said, yeah. And then he says this, then I start thinking this way. The reason we can't get out of the situations we're in when our relationships is because we won't let go of the thing that we're holding on to that's holding back healing, forgiveness, love, and compassion. And this whole time, all the Father says is, will you please just straighten your hand out and say, I'm sorry. And let go of the thing that you love to do. Listen, I ain't going to cut you no slack. You love the fight. You love the struggle. You love the argument. You love this man. If you didn't, you would want to straighten it out. You would want to straighten it out. All he said is, draw nigh to me. Listen, God says, if you'll draw nigh to me, then guess what? I've been quoting this wrong the whole time. God said, if you're in a fight, you're in a war, you're in a fuss, you're in a bad relationship, bad marriage, bad friendship, bad church situation, all you have to do is draw nigh to me. When you draw nigh to God, you know what he's going to do? I'm serious. This is what he's going to do. He's going to start. He's going to start prying them fingers open. Literally, it ain't your fingers. He's going to start prying your heart open. And it is ugly, and it is painful. And you will look like a mess while it's going on, but guess what? You're going to get some peace and healing after it's over. You might keep your marriage. You might keep your husband. You might keep your wife. You might keep your church. You might be able to, for the first time in your life, you might be able to stay somewhere and be whole. You don't have to pack up and leave every time. You don't have to run everybody off every time. Maybe you can stay. Maybe they can stay. Maybe for the first time you can have real relationships. Not just, oh, as long as it's good, you're my friend. As long as you're good, you're my wife. As long as you're good, you're my kid. Praise God, God loves you despite of who you are. When you're good or when you're bad. When you're up or when you're down. So how do you do it, though? The answers are right here. I'm going to tell you how they go. Verse 9, and hear all your answers, and I'm sorry they come out this way. Be afflicted. You got to get afflicted. What does that mean? Can I ask you a question? If you're going through a war right now in any relationship in your life, how many meals have you missed because of it? Okay. How many times have you fasted? Prayed. How much sleep have you missed over it? I'm serious. How many of you, instead of getting up at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock, I'm going to get up at 5. And from 5 to 6, I ain't going to do nothing but pray about that. Afflicted. My flesh hurts. Nope. You know what? We don't hurt our flesh at all. We don't afflict ourselves at all. Amen? So before you said you've done everything you can or you don't know what to do, the first thing you need to do is back away from the table, back away from some sleep, back away from your personal time, turn the TV off, turn the Braves off, turn the team off, go into your prayer closet and talk to God about it. Get in your word and pray and afflict your flesh for a little while and God will give you an answer. Amen, preacher. That's good preaching. And mourn. Why are you mourning? Because this is a death sentence. Because there'll be many people come in this church and say, if two Christians can't get along, if two husbands, a husband and wife, and a wife and husband, and their kids can't get along, how in the world are we going to reach the world? We should be mourning because we're so messed up in our wars and our conflicts, in our families, in our relationships. We should be like wearing all black with our head down, just weeping and saying, God, fix this relationship. I'm broken about it. I'm broken. And you should be weeping. You sow in tears, you will reap in joy. That's what the Bible says. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Listen to this. Some of y'all, so you wouldn't even know you had a conflict. A lot of times we come to church, you wouldn't even know there is a war going on. You're laughing and cutting up and joking, and this altar sits here open the whole time, and you're like, I'll only go up there if it really gets dangerous. I'm only going to go talk to God or the pastor if it gets right down to the point where we're about to split up or get a divorce or quit. It's amazing. Most people come to the pastor, coming, can I come talk to you? You know what? When they come to me, they won't even listen to one thing. They've already made up their mind where they're going, what they're doing, how they're doing it, and all they want me to do is pray about it and bless them and go on. And a lot of times they just want me to hear their side. Just let me tell you what he did. Let me tell you what she did. Let me tell you. And you know what? I'm sitting there thinking, are you ever going to listen to God again? Or are you ever just going to say, God, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Some of you are so low right now. You're in a war with your sister, your brother, your wife, your husband, your friends, church people. And you're low. You're like, God, how can I get lifted up? Humble yourself under the hand of the Lord. Say, God, I'm pretty low, but I'll stay here if it takes you to lift me up. You know, if you'll humble yourself and get real low for a while, you know what God will do? He'll come along and he'll pick you up the right way. Some of y'all say, how do you know this, brother? The Bible says God is faithful. And if he cares about messages and he cares about worship, cares about church buildings, if he cares about all this little other stuff, guess what? He cares about how your relationships are going. Let's all stand. We're going to play a song. If God spoke to you, what I see is, I don't know how in the world this message goes over without this whole altar being filled up with people talking to God about how God can fix them and their relationship. But that's up between you and God.